Hello and welcome to One World Pod, brought to you by the group One World Many Paths in the virtual world of Second Life. Today we offer you Inner View, brought to you by Vampire Kiss Fairy, an interview talk show format with selected guests brought to you each time. Enjoy.
Starheart, my friend, would you like to explain a little bit about this knowledge of yours about the Mayan calendar?
Well, actually, I don't have a lot of knowledge about it. I just know basically what I've read and I understand about today, that it is, according to the Mayans, the first day of the beginning of the sixth night in the calendar, which is also called the 12th heaven. And Carl Kalaman, you can Google him. His name is C-A-R-L-C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N. And this is a man who knows what he's talking about, much more so than I do when concerning the Mayan calendar. And I'm going to quote a little bit here from him. He says, and this is quoting Mr. Kalaman, "In reality, the Mayan calendar is, however, not about something that will happen on a singular date, but a description of a divine plan for the evolution of humankind, where quantum shifts become calendrical energies, bringing about shifts in consciousness. Thus, human consciousness will continue to be transformed step by step in accordance with this plan, until we come to the real end date of the process of creation, which Mr. Kalaman believes is October 28th, 2011. So he disagrees with the 2012. Now, you can disagree with Mr. Kalaman, of course. I'm sure many do. But there is a lot of evidence that he brings forth, if you can call it evidence, dealing with something so supernal, that indicates that might well be true, that October 28th, 2011 might really be the end date of the calendar. So anyway, back to the sixth day that we are entering now. It's really gearing up to tell us that we have to turn loose of all our preconceived ideas, of things that we treasure and hold dear. Now, that doesn't mean we kick them out the door. They still may be with us, and we may wind up treasuring them even more, but not in a dysfunctional way, in a truly open-armed, open-ended way. And that's the deal, because all of us as human beings have things we really hold on to. No one here can say, oh, well, I don't have anything I hold on to. We all know we've got it, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're human beings, but we're being asked to take a look at that non-judgmentally and say, okay, what do I need not to get rid of, but to turn loose of? A big distinction, a difference.
Understand.
And if we don't, we're going to find out the hard way, you know. I mean, let's do it now.
Loose of, as opposed to, so basically, put rather succinctly, I think it would be safe to say that you're saying that today is the beginning of a cycle wherein our consciousness is being raised to allow things to be loose, to evolve in their own way, to turn loose of things and let things go and basically see what comes back to us, not maybe go forever, but to allow that some things may be leaving us.
Exactly. And our whole planet, geophysically, you know, is losing its magnetic field. And scientists are saying that in 1,500 years from now, we won't have a magnetic field on this planet, unless it just suddenly magically changes, and they can't say for sure it wouldn't, but the studies that they've been making recently have shocked them, because the magnetic field is disappearing so quickly, they can't even imagine why that's happening. So I bring this in not as some kind of catastrophic thing, but as a part of the process, because what happens when the magnetic field gets weaker and weaker. We become less dynamic in our physical bodies, and we're going to start looking elsewhere to supply us with that anchor. And where do we look? But in the light fields. We have magnetic fields, we have gravity, we have all of this. But what if that starts dissipating? Not overnight, but slowly, it's dissipating, and rather rapidly for geologically. And so what do we look at instead? We look at our light fields, our sacred geometries, and our connection to the universe, rather than just what makes us tick and be able to walk from point A to point B on planet Earth. It's broadening our perspective by necessity. And we're going to have to be the mother of invention here in order to make our lives richer and more worthwhile, or else we're going to really, you know, we're going to really have a hard time. And a lot of people are having a hard time. And so to me, it's like we don't want to judge anyone, but at the same time, we need to be aware that if other people are around us in our experience are seeming to give us a hard time, or, oh, how could they be that way, or whatever, we're really looking into the mirror of ourselves, to a part of ourself that is struggling, but it hasn't become so obvious on the surface yet. And we need to realize that.
I've been talking about that to everybody lately. I really, you know what, this is something I got to say, and I don't mean to be interrupted or to be rude, but I must say that I have noticed that all of the channelers, and I'm using that term loosely and respectfully, because I myself am one of those people who I kind of hesitate to call myself a channeler, but though yet there are many entities that have given their messages through me, and one of my guides is Metatron, and he deals with this field that you talk about, the veil. This is what we call the veil, folks. Just to elaborate for some of you who might be tuning in, listening to this podcast and wondering what the electromagnetic field has to do with anything. And basically, in the places on the Earth already and at the times when the electromagnetic field is weak, people suddenly get all kinds of interaction with the other realms. The veil is actually a sort of a protective field. If you can think of it as sort of an energy field, that's sort of like a force field. It's semi-permeable. However, it does keep it and filter out quite a great deal both ways. So I just wanted to elaborate on that. Now, as I said, some people don't know what you mean when you mean electromagnetic field.
How that would relate to us. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're going to really have to accept that we're now, at this moment, living in a whole new paradigm. And of course, it's been gradually coming on us, but I think all of us can say we've noticed how it's been accelerating these past years, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, really, really accelerating. And this past year, even more so. And it's, you know, many people are running around very frightened because they have put everything in their one bank, you know. They have everything in one place in their experience, in their belief systems, and it's all just cached away right there. And if that goes, if that starts crumbling, then they feel like their whole world is dying. When it's really not, it's just that they're being called upon to realize that you can't live in one spot. You have to be a dimensional person. We're really, really
called upon. Learn to be multidimensional, in other
yes,
words.
Yes, uh-huh.
Being called upon to be multidimensional, what joy, what luck. I'm already multidimensional, interdimensional, and I'm also an eclectic, thank goodness, huh? So, I was going to say one thing I was going to mention is this is another thing that I have been noticing. All the channels, are agreeing. They're all getting the same messages at once. I'm getting the same messages that you're getting, pretty much. I mean, I just have been talking to people about the same thing, even though I did not know that this was a Mayan calendar day of that. I did have a Mayan teacher, however. But I didn't know that yet. That's exactly what I've been dealing with. And I know that, and we've been discussing that. It's interesting that we're all getting the same messages now. We're all on the same page. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I truly believe that these messages are really coming from our inner being. And that doesn't mean that I'm dismissing the masters and the ultra beings. I mean, I myself have worked with Thoth, who calls himself Thoth Hara at times, since I was, about 40 years now, I guess I've worked with him. So I'm not trying to dismiss that we get in contact with and have these beautiful beings interrelating with us. But I think it's more important than ever to realize at this point in time that what they're really doing is simply guiding us to our own greater being. And that greater being is dancing in their stream, of being. And that is where we are receiving from. And in this dance, it comes through our filter, our awareness, and our perspective. And that's a beautiful thing, but it's also important to realize that we as human beings do have a lens. And it's important for us, I think, those of us who are channels, to be able to be flexible now and say, well, a year ago I channeled such and such, but now I see it differently. Now I see it more expanded light, because I am a different person now. I've grown, and I can receive a greater part of the stream that I entered a year ago. And those of us who can't do that, who say, oh, no, I channeled this, and that's how it is, and it's going to always be that way, you know, again, not turning loose and not saying, wait a minute, we're moving into a new energy shift. I'm a human being. I can see things differently. And I think that applies to all of them.
Totally agree, because I find that if somebody tried to pin me down to just one being to channel, I would not be comfortable with that. I hear from several different. I've heard from a lot of different beings, but the thing that I think is the most interesting about this time that I've noticed is that all of the channels, no matter who they're channeling, I'm getting very similar messages, although, as you said, filtered in their own way, through their own lens. I'm getting incredibly similar messages from all of them. I go to Diane Patricia Cotarobel's site. She's saying something very similar. I'm listening to Basher. He's saying something very similar. I'm getting from my own guides something similar, and now you're saying this is what I'm saying. And it sounded like Seth was sort of on this track earlier today, too. So the thing I find really exemplary and really undeniably different from the past is that we are all getting on the same wavelength. This is something else. Find that a really big milestone? I do.
Yes, I do as well. It's time. It's due for us to be able to synergize in that way.
Duncan has asked, how does one know they are multidimensional? Would anybody like to discuss how one knows one is interdimensional or multidimensional?
Well, you know, it's kind of like saying, how does one know how one feels about something? If your inner feelings are telling you that you're perceiving things in more than one way, in other words, something occurs in your life, and you say, oh, well, this is how I feel about it, and that's that. Or are you saying, you know, there's a lot of different ways I could look at this. I could see it this way, or I could see it this way, or I could see it that way. and to be with that and to be able to realize that you really don't have to choose one way, that all three could be correct as different approaches, different levels of the same situation. Now, when you can get into that space and you can really hold that pattern so that you're seeing this thing that we're calling here, this example, from all these different angles, and all of them you agree with, and yet some of them in the real world, if you just bring it down to one dimension, may seem to contradict. If you told that to someone who was just living in one dimension, they'd say, well, that's impossible. You're contradicting yourself. And that's where,
that's where the part comes in.
Because if you're with your family or your friends, and you bring that up and you and introduce them to that, they may just think you're completely nuts. So you have to be someone who really holds strong with that in your inner being.
It's not like you have to convince someone else. I mean, most of us who did not grow up in a family where this was acceptable, or in a situation where this was acceptable, we've all had our trepidation at coming out and just speaking our truth because, concerns about how people are going to take it. But I think we're going to hit a point where people are going to be so needing to know and finally getting to the point where they can hear it. I notice a lot of people are finally getting to the point where they can hear this sort of thing, a different viewpoint. Multidimensionality for me, I think my test would be, how many worlds do you feel you live in? Really, if all you see is the physical world, you're obviously not. But I'd say, yeah, the viewpoint is a good way to describe it. Can you see how multiple viewpoints might be true, even though they appear on the surface to be conflicting? This is why I'm an eclectic. but also there's more to it than that, I think. There's a perceptual awareness of more than one place that we dwell, I think. That's, I have a perceptual awareness, as our announcement said, that I do have people that I interact with in a non-physical way, on another plane of existence. We have entire relationships that are not physical at all.
I totally agree. I've had those experiences all my life. But, there are people, I believe, living among us, many people, who are not experiencing that consciously yet, and yet they are opening the door to their interdimensional selves in their perceptions in other ways, and that leads to, eventually, the veils coming down and really perceiving these other realms in a deeper and more authentic way. For me, it's kind of like we absolutely have to be authentic right now, wherever we are, in our progress, in our process, in our being, that's an okay place to be. And we are authentically there. We are speaking from that place. We are present with that place. But we are not stuck in that place. And I think that that's something that a lot of people, especially in the spiritual communities, and they hear other people seeing beings and talking to, and all this going on, they're going, well, gee, what's wrong with me, And I think it's important for them to realize that they don't necessarily have to do all that now to really be a dimensional being, that it's a part of a process, and it's important to be present where you are now.
I agree. It's important to be present where you are now. But Duncan is asking... I'm kind of bringing the people who are hearing the podcast and not seeing the written material. Remember,
the people who are going to be listening are not going to see the written material, so I'm kind of bringing them up to date. But I do see what Duncan is trying to say. So if one can see magical and mythical creatures, wouldn't they have to be part of what makes one multidimensional? And I would say yes, that would be an indicator that you are becoming multidimensional, is if you are seeing beings that are supposed to be mythical. Obviously, they came from somewhere. The awareness of these creatures came from somewhere. Calling them strictly mythical is kind of goes against my grain. I'm just trying to understand a little bit more about what Seth was trying to say about this subject. Yeah, chimeras are quite common, he says. Would you care to explain? Oh, and dragons, yes. And Duncan says dragons. I think we all have had something to do with dragons. Noting the name of this website that we're going to be on. Chimeras are cross-dimensional presences. Hello, Maya. Aloha. One of our Hawaiian members has just shown up, one of our Hawaiian teachers. Please that you could join us. And Starheart says she almost answered because her real-life name is Maya. Spelled that way, the same way.
And I live in Hawaii.
And she lives in Hawaii. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. I feel that as we talk together, we will probably find out we are just as much sisters as Maya and I feel that we are sisters. We kind of come from the same place. And possibly that is actually a place in our hearts. I don't know. But Seth says, but multidimensional awareness does impact physical success or derangement.
Well, everything is how you use it, you know, and if you're really kind of not ready for too much multidimensional experience, and maybe you're accessing it through drugs or because you have some chakra imbalances, you know, it could be something that at the time would be detrimental to that person because they weren't ready for it.
Absolutely.
I think that's true with anything.
Somebody like that. In fact, I know somebody who is having those problems right now, and nobody can really help him at this time until he decides to be a little bit more open-minded, because right now he has decided. I really think that a lot of what we're calling psychosis is really just people's attempts to explain to themselves what the heck is happening to them, when actually what they're picking up on is this thinning of the veil. And yet they have not been trained or taught or coached in any way, in any useful way, to be able to understand what the heck is happening to them. Yes, I totally agree, Seth. It isn't failure, but it is confusion. It is not failure, however. And I've said this before. When you cannot decipher the messages that are coming to you, then you come off like a mad person. Come off like a crazy person. The difference between that and a channeler or a person who gets insights is that somehow the messages and symbols and thoughts and words and things that we get, we can ungarble them. We can translate them. We can step them down into human understanding, awareness, and speech. Whereas some people are not quite ready to do so, and they may be receiving the same message and not know it because they cannot decipher it. It's like they need a fish in their ear, so to speak. if anybody follows Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they need a universal translator, which they do not have. What do you think of that, people? Does that sound logical?
Well, I think there's going to start being a very thin line between who's crazy and who's not as we progress toward the ascension date, or what we're calling that. You know, the old saying, everybody's crazy but you and me, and sometimes I think you're a little bit crazy too.
And I'm not so sure about you is the punchline to that. Everybody's crazy but you and me, and frankly, I'm not so sure about you. And Seth further says, Seth speaks, yeah, right. Okay, everyone out there listening to the podcast should get that joke. If not, you haven't read that book yet, go read it. If someone comes to you and declares, I'm an orange, please don't peel me, on some level, this is a truth.
I noticed that Prismatica was saying that, let's see, I lost the chat window, sorry.
No, I'm trying to keep the podcast people up to date, please do.
Right. She said that it's always difficult to know that our interpretations are correct. It is not always apparent initially, even if we think it's crystal clear. And, you know, that's very true. And that used to really bother me. I mean, I've been doing this exclusively in my life since I was 17. I'm 60 now, so it's been a while. And it used to really bother me. I used to think, oh, it's my responsibility to be a clear channel. Oh, you know, and I just set that aside. At some point, I just set that aside, and I said, I'm a human being. I'm stating that. I'm stating that I'm simply, this is my intuition coming through me and my lens, and if it resonates with you, fine, and if it doesn't, that's okay, too. Think for yourself. Feel for yourself. And I don't, even with my own inner decisions and whatever, I don't get too involved in saying, well, now, this is right. Is this right? Is this clear? Is this, you know, am I being deceived? That's too much mental constriction for me. I just feel at this point in my life that I just turn it loose and I just sort of, as the saying goes, let go and let God. And I ask my inner spiritual divine being to guide me in step by step in the path I need to follow. I personally need to follow. And everyone should do the same.
Ka Bravity is saying, it is also why people don't listen to dreams. On our normal thought level, they sound crazy. Then we miss the truth in it. I think that is correct. I did a dream class here for a while, and our dreams do sometimes sound crazy, and yet they have a lot of truth in them. Seth was talking about somebody today that sometimes has a tendency to rant and rave a little bit. According to some people, and yet a lot of what he says has some veracity, but to just listen to him go on, sometimes he appears to be just ranting and raving. Yet there is some truth that you can come that can come out of that. You just got to translate it sometimes, and if people do not understand that it has to be translated, that's where the problem lies. If they take it just as totally face value, it's going to seem crazy.
I totally agree with you, because many years ago, my sources suggested that instead of calling what I do channeling, that I call it Akashic Translation, which I do really on my websites and whatever, but people don't understand what that means, so I generally just say channeling. But they talk about it as being Akashic Translation, because it does have to be translated.
I think basically I am a translator. Channels are basically translators. What we do is we have the function and ability to take the messages from other realms and translate them at varying levels of success, I suppose, into I would say, usable, or I almost like to see it almost like edible bits of food. You know, some things are a big mouthful, and we almost have to put it into bite-sized pieces so that more people can access it, because some of these are vast, huge thoughts. Somebody has to step it down into some sort of form that people can actually relate to, because you cannot really explain the unexplainable to anybody without starting from something they do know about. So I think one of the big skills with any channeler has to be being able to take these extremely vast and sometimes incredibly complex subjects and issues and thoughts, and sometimes it feels honestly like a zip file is unpacking in my brain. Take them, translate them, put them into some kind of usable form for other people to be able, that are not tuned in like this, to be able to handle. And then put that out. It's so we are literally, what is it? What was her name? Yoshi on Star Trek or something? Or, you know, whoever is doing the translating. Yeah, that's us. We are translators for universal languages, basically.
And I think we're also in the process of putting ourselves out of business, or rather, we will be put out of business.
Absolutely.
Because more and more people are going to be able to reach within. And so...
Right.
Our jobs will become obsolete, which is fine, because then we can go on and explore new territory.
And with me, it's fun while it lasted, and you know what? I'm happy I got it now. I'm really happy to be able to do it. It makes me ecstatic when somebody gets it. It's like, I got it. Okay, I understood that. It's like, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. One day you will be able to understand this for yourself. As the veil starts to drop, people will start to see more and more of this for themselves. But maybe by then we will have been able to teach them how to understand what they're seeing, so they don't just flip out and go nuts. Because I think a lot of people, if they don't get eased into that, are going to think that they're going nuts. We're already seeing that. We're already seeing people who are wondering if they're going nuts. And they're not going nuts. They're just getting messages, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to step that down into right down here where we need it, you know. They don't know how to do that yet. And I think that's why it's so important that we keep trying to do that, that we keep putting that out there, that, you know, what you need to do is you need to just not take this incredibly personally, but look at it as a message, not, now, occasionally a cigar is a cigar, okay, just a cigar. But you've got to look at it sometimes in a very symbolic way. Sometimes you got to even use double entendre type things. Like one time in one of my dreams, I crumbled a cookie and threw it at my boyfriend that I was breaking up with, and it was just, that's the way the cookie crumbles. All kinds of ways it comes to us. Yes. Uhura, played by Nichelle Nichols, who I met, by the way. A wonderful woman, very smart. Yes, Uhura, and Duncan Stenbag says, the one Star Trek who did the translating, Uhura. Yeah, she would have been the communications officer at that time, and yeah, kind of like that. And I guess Yoshi was on another one. We got to realize, earlier Trek, they did not have the Universal Translator yet. So, and yes, I have just marked myself as kind of a geek, but so be it. Wait a minute, let me catch up on the text. I am sorry, Starheart. Well, I'm not really sorry, but pardon me a moment while I catch the people up on the text.
Okay. Really sparked quite a lot of discussion, and I'm great with that. And Prismatica goes on to say, it's always difficult to know that our interpretations are correct. It's not always apparent initially, even if we think it's crystal clear. And I would also add to that, Prismatica, that sometimes things will mean one thing at one time and something else at another time. Some thoughts are that are multidimensional have layers and levels of truth to them that we don't initially even see. Is the problem you think it's your own interpretation? Nothing is actually trying to deceive much of anyone. Any content in your mind is thereby an aspect of human nature. You were imprinted with it. And Starheart agrees, yes, Seth. Seth says, it's your attention pattern that confuses things. Then Seth says, talent will vary between individuals. Some people's purpose will still not be this information retrieval. And this is true also. Not everybody's really cut out for this. Library is in itself, even now, changing in its nature. Some people perceive it as falling apart, literally falling apart. This might go right along with what you were saying, that we are releasing things. If this is the case, that's fine with me, because that means we finished that lesson. Anybody care to comment? Wait a minute, and Seth says, everyone can hear, but we don't all have the ear of a Beethoven. Which is true enough. We all might hear it, but some of us might hear it garbled. Some of us might not hear it at all. True. Okay.
Well, my sources speak about the greater Akashic and the lesser Akashic, and the lesser Akashic is that library record of all the little mundane things in our world and how we perceive, you know, life, and we're going along every day and doing the laundry and driving to the grocery store, and we know this and we know that, and all our little tiny belief systems that are wrapped around all of that. And Thoth, my benefactor, says that this is going to start unraveling really fast because it's connected to the magnetic field and the magnetic bodies in us. The higher Akashic or greater Akashic is not connected to the magnetic field. It's in the light field forms. So more and more we're going to have to be able to reorient ourselves to the light fields, and because if we don't, we're going to be trying to open the door with our shoe instead of a key, because we won't be able to understand that. You know, it will be like having Alzheimer's.
Totally understand that. And some people are even saying one of the reasons why many people are coming up with Alzheimer's is because it's an attempt to try and deal with this. We have this actual, what we're calling a disease, is transpiring because we are actually attempting to deal with this interdimensional translation situation. And Seth considers bludgeoning a door with a shoe just for the cathartic value. And we can count on Seth to say things like that always. So that's one of the things we gotta love about Seth. Anyway. He's smiling, and everybody is saying bravo and laughing. So, anyway, I wanted to say is that I think this corresponds to something that I did see at one point. The lesser Akashic might be, and this would be an example of how things can be encoded or, shall we say, symbolized. There seems to be a part of the Akashic Library that is represented by pictures of books
me. When I see it, I see books, actual books and tapes and things, sort of like a real everyday library, and I use the term real loosely. And yet there is another part that I see represented by crystalline structures and all sorts of different things and energy and just an entirely different section that is sort of above and on top of that lower section. And I almost think what you are talking about is that, yeah, I almost think that this minor Akashic, the one that's falling apart, might be the one underneath, might be that one.
I've seen both myself. I've seen what you're talking about, the lore, the books and the things, you know, and then also the crystalline scrolls and all of that.
That is interesting. Oh, well, and one of the reasons, too, okay, and I didn't know it, of course, until you said something about it, but Thoth, however you want to say, many people call him a little bit differently, but I got to meet him the time that I died, and he gave me my marching orders before I came here, before I came back here.
I call him Thoth Hara now because he requested that I bring him into second life. So I actually have an avatar that I am animate that he helped me sculpt the face and everything of Thoth Hara. And that's his avatar name in second life. And of course, I'm animating him. But at our gatherings, I come in this embodiment, and it seems to help the power, the energy of it, because as he comes through me, and I say that, you know, I'm present. It's not like I'm a medium, but I do feel the energy streaming through me. And I could just sit here like Starheart and do it, but there's a certain energy effect by bringing in this male avatar that he guided me to sculpt the features of. You know, I don't know, people just say that it really adds to the experience. Maybe it's all show, I don't know, but it seems to work.
Well, you know what? A little bit of showmanship is not a bad thing, really. I think that's why it was used often in the old days. I mean, there were actually plays and things. Plays and things were actually communication. And I guess in Greece, it was one of the ways that they did their teaching about their beliefs. And so it was actually a religious practice, the theater was. And so perhaps in their way, those myths and stories were their way of bringing their channelings to the people around them in a way that they could understand it.
My interpretations of this. You can just Google Spirit Mythos. MYTHOS, Spirit Mythos, and I have a rather large website with all of this material on it for anyone who would like to do that. I really appreciate you including me in this. This has been wonderful and meeting all of you, but I'm going to have to go silent now, and I'm going to have to leave and do a few other things before I log off. So blessings to
you. Oh,
blessings
thank you for coming, Starheart. You have been a wonderful first guest on the show. That hasn't really quite started yet, but this is as a run and as an advertisement for the first show is probably going to be pretty stellar. I think you made an absolutely wonderful guest, and I look forward to seeing you around more and talking to you again. I really feel that we have quite a lot in common. Thank you very much for showing up.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in world and enjoy our website, dragonintuitive.com.
Interesting that even when I don't think this is going to happen, it happens anyway. We said it was going to happen. Here it is happening. Okay. The universe has its own darn plans, right? Okay. What I mean about that is because my voice was not really up to par. I was thinking we can't start the radio show today, and I don't have everything set up, and I don't have a guest lined up, and I have been sick, and so on and so forth, with allergies. And my voice appears to be clearing up a bit, for one thing. And the other thing is, we had a wonderful guest here anyway, and a nice audience as well. Isn't this wonderful? Once again, Grace does 99% of the work, and we just happen to be present for it, right? And do our bit. Yes! This is absolutely stellar. I love it.